What is the ambition of the world community? It's to take what's falsely called the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, territory that has historically belonged to the Jewish people, territory that the nation of Israel won in the defensive war in 1967. It's to take that territory and make it sort of a international zone, or give it as a whole to the Palestinian people, to give it to the Arabs, to give it to the Muslims. And most of the nations of the world think that this is what is going to solve the great problem in the Middle East. God says this is the very thing that's going to kindle His wrath and bring His wrath upon the earth in the tribulation period. Joel 3 and verse 2 predicted this long ago, and we're living in a time period when the international world wants to divide the land of Israel. Just more signs that you can see related to international politics. Another sign related to international politics is a desire amongst the nations of the earth for a one world government. Is that what the Bible says would happen in the last days? You bet your bottom dollar. Daniel 7 and verse 23 predicts this one world government, the final form of Gentile rule which will exist before the return of Christ. It says this: the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. Revelation 13, verses 7 and 8 says, "...and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone." These are prophecies of the last days, one world government. It's interesting how people think today. They think that if we can just bring in one world government, it will solve all of our social problems. Henry Steele Komanger put it this way: the inescapable fact, traumatized by the energy crisis, the population crisis, the armaments race, and so forth, is that nationalism, this is the idea that individual governments of the world can act sovereignly, nationalism, as we have noted in the 19th century and much of the 21st century, is as much of an anachronism today as it was with states' rights when Calhoun preached it and Jefferson Davis fought for it. There he's making a reference to the United States government. When you study the United States Constitution, true power was never to rest in Washington, D.C. It was to rest in the governments of the people in the 50 states. And over the last 200 years, what has happened in the United States is the individual state governments have gotten weaker and weaker and weaker. And Washington, D.C., federal government, that I like to call Fedzilla, has become larger and larger and larger. And what he is saying here is that same process has to happen in the world. The individual governments of the earth have to cede power to an overarching global structure. And that's the only way, in his mind, to solve our world problems. He goes on in this quote and he says, "Just as we know or should know that none of our domestic problems can be solved within the artificial boundaries of the states, so none of our global problems can be solved within the artificial boundaries of the nations." You say, well, Andy, you're getting a little bit into conspiracy theories here. Well, it's really not a conspiracy when they come out and tell us what they want to do in their writings. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is just reading comprehension ability. David Rockefeller put it this way in his memoirs, page 405. "For more than a century, ideological extremists have seized upon well-publicized incidents to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence that they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it." It's interesting to me that as globalists get closer and closer to their goal, they get more and more transparent about their true intentions. But these things should not shock us as Bible readers. The Bible predicted these days would come long ago. There's a third category of signs that I'll call your attention to. These are signs related to economics, international economics. Take a look, if you could, at Revelation 13 and verses 16 through 18. These are familiar verses of Scripture that you no doubt know well. Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18 says, "And He causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And He provides that no one would be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name." What is this predicting here for the last days? This is the Antichrist system that he wants to bring in. And what it is predicting here is a global economy. Economy that controls every person on planet Earth. People cannot participate in the global economy. They can't purchase food for their families. They can't put gasoline in their car and so forth unless they receive a mark on their right hand or forehead which swears allegiance to the beast. It's interesting to me to watch this very system, although it's not fully in place yet, develop right before our eyes. Are you familiar with George Soros? George Soros is probably one of the biggest troublemakers and globalists on planet Earth, the best that I can tell. George Soros said this, "I think the dollar is now under question, and I think the system will need to be reformed so that the United States will be subject to the same discipline as is imposed on other countries. In the long run, having an international accounting unit rather than the dollar may in fact be to our advantage. No more individual currencies for nations," is what he's saying. "We all need to be governed by the same currency globally," something he calls an international accounting unit. And in the prophecy of Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18, where you can't buy or sell unless you receive a mark on the right hand or on the forehead, is that not talking today about a cashless society? It's interesting to me how many people want a cashless society. They want to get away or get rid of this thing that we all use called cash. Why is there a push to get rid of cash? Terry L. Cook, in his book, The Mark of the New World Order, puts it this way. "New World Order economists are not ignorant of the importance of cash and its ability to inhibit their control of the world. They are aware that in order to completely control, track, and monitor the global population, they first must eliminate the use of cash. With cash, there is no way to know how people are using their finances, whether for or against the government and its agenda. Because control of one's finances, in essence, means control of one's entire life, advocates of world government have for decades been promoting a move to a cashless transactions via a myriad of banking plans, ATM machines, credit cards, point-of-sale machines, credit data, all funneled through massive computer systems. Eventually, the goal of all of these computers by the economic leaders, this is the goal," he says, "of the New World Order." As long as you're using cash, people can't really track exactly what it is you're purchasing. But the moment you move to a credit system, there's a record. And it's interesting today, I can order a book, for example, off Amazon, and suddenly in my inbox, in my email, I start getting emails that say, "Well, if you like this book, you might like this one over here. And you might like this one over here." Well, how do they know that? Well, the computer generates a profile of me simply based on information it has. And they're able to do that because I'm using a credit card and I'm not purchasing things via cash. And this is the great move to abolish cash and get us into a system where we can be monitored and tracked.